Okay, so last time we went through Genesis chapter 7. We got up to about verse 16, and we looked at the Lord inviting Noah and his household, his family, into the ark. And he said in verse 1 of this chapter, "Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." And so he invites Noah and his family into the ark, and then gives them instructions for bringing the beasts also into the ark to keep them alive. And I don't want to do too much review right now, because even though we only have a few verses left at the end of this chapter, we still have a lot to get into. So again, if you want to catch up on the series, I can give you the link on our website. But we'll just pick it up from verse 16. And it says, "And they went in, and they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut him in." So this is Noah, his family, the male and female of all the animals. And God had decided to destroy all flesh because of the problems, all the sin, all the violence that had multiplied throughout the earth through man. And yet, some of them he saves alive. And that salvation is only inside the ark. And then the Lord shut him in. Verse 17, "And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth. And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life of all that was in the dry land, died. And every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and the creeping things and the fowl of the heaven. And they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. All right, so let's back up to verse 17, and we'll just go through this one step at a time. So verse 17, it says the flood was 40 days upon the earth. You might recall that we just read verse 24, and it says the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. So was it 40 days or was it 150 days? I think the 40 days is either talking about the time that the flood was upon the earth, like the time that the earth was flooding, the time that the rain was coming down, because that, it says, was 40 days and 40 nights. Another possibility is he's talking about where the flood was at a certain point after it started. It could be 40 days after it started. That it was 40 days upon the earth, and then something happened. So it says the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift above the earth. So as we read through this passage, you could see what's happening. God said there was going to be a flood. He told Noah, "I'm going to save you and your family, and I'm going to save a sample of all the animals on the earth in this ark, and I'm going to destroy everything else. And I'm going to start this world over again." And that's what he did. So as far as like literally what's happening here, I really don't have a lot to add to it. But we'll go through it as we we'll talk about it as we go through it. But actually, as we go through it, I want to call your attention to some really interesting spiritual pictures that I see here. So we're talking about the water. Again, it's coming up. The fountains of the great deep were broken up. Remember from last time, there was water coming up from the ground, but there's also water coming down. Go to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, and we'll start in verse 8. And if you were here for when we went through Genesis chapter 1, I made mention when God divided the waters which were above the firmament from the waters which were below the firmament, there's kind of a division that God is making, is a theme of a division between heaven and earth. And he talks about that right here, Isaiah 55:8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater." So remember, when this flood is coming on the earth, it's raining for the very first time. Okay? This is the first time rain is on the earth. Before this, it says in Genesis 2, there was a mist that came up from the ground to water the earth. But now there's rain coming. And God says, "For as the rain cometh down," verse 11, "so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." So God makes this connection with his word to the rain. He says, my word is like the rain that comes down. There's something kind of similar in Deuteronomy 32 when he says, my doctrine shall drop down as the dew. That's the word of God. It comes from above, from heaven, comes down to earth. And this is one of the pictures that I see in this chapter. I go back to Genesis 7. I want you to think about this in terms of the word of God, the rain coming down. It says in verse 17, the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth. Go to the book of Acts, chapter 6. We haven't really talked about it up until this point, but I see this ark that saves one man and his family. I see this ark as a picture of the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 6, verse 7. We just read, the waters increased and bare up the ark. It says in Acts chapter 6, verse 7, "And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to faith." So the waters increased, the word of God increased, it bare up the ark. Go to John chapter 12. Now what's happening when this water is upon the earth, it's a time of judgment. God is pouring out judgment on the world. It's interesting. John 12, 31, Jesus said, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Notice that when the waters increased, the ark was lifted up, it says. Jesus said, "If I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Verse 33, this he said, signifying what death he should die. If you recall, I know it's been a couple weeks since we were in Genesis, but I think I mentioned last time, Noah and his family gets on the ark. Just imagine the world at that time. You got a world full of people who could care less about God. The world is filled with violence. People are killing each other. They're murdering each other. They're committing acts of violence against one another. They're not following God like Noah is. They're doing all these bad things, and then Noah is invited by God, come into the ark. So Noah goes into the ark. The Lord shuts him in. And to everybody else in the world, Noah's as good as dead. I mean, hey, what are you doing getting in this big box, Noah, in this big boat? You're not even within 100 miles of the ocean, and here you are getting in a boat in the middle of nowhere. You're getting sealed in. You might as well be in a tomb. You're completely cut off from the world. You're as good as dead. We're not even hearing your voice anymore. You've been preaching to us for a long time, but we can't even hear your voice anymore. We can't see you. You're shut off from everything else in the world, and they're shut off from you. You might as well be dead. Might as well be in a big tomb. That ark was lifted up by the waters. You know, Jesus said, "If I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. In effect, Noah was going into that ark to die to this world, to be completely shut off from it. Now, all the flesh that was in the world, they literally died. But yet Noah and his family going into that ark and dying, they're the ones who were actually preserved. They're the ones who actually remained alive, as it says later on in this chapter. So I think that's a very interesting picture. Back in Genesis 7, and let me tell you, there's a lot of fascinating things in this passage of Scripture. And in a half an hour Sunday school lesson, I'm not going to have time to show you all this stuff. Okay? There's a lot of different things to be seen in here. But it says the waters increased and bear up the ark. It was lifted up above the earth. Verse 18, and the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth. And the ark went upon the face of the waters. Go to Acts chapter 19. Get back in Acts. So the other thing that we read in Acts just a moment ago, we read that the word of God increased, just like the waters increased. Well, in Acts chapter 19, it started in verse 15. So it calls them vagabond Jews, exorcists, that tried to cast out this evil spirit by invoking the name of Jesus and saying, "Hey, you know, we adjure thee by Jesus whom Paul preacheth." They didn't even know Jesus. They were just trying to use his name to have power over these spirits. And verse 15, and the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye?" And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. The name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. What happens during this judgment? The name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Verse 20, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Again, you see, when the waters prevailed, that's the word of God, they bear up the ark. They lifted up the ark, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Lifted up. It's kind of interesting that, so I said, like, one of the pictures to see here is that the ark represents the Lord Jesus Christ. The ark has a door in it. Jesus said, I'm the door. You got to enter in by me. This ark was the only salvation in the whole world. And you know what? The straight is the gate. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it, Jesus said. And most of the world perished. And unfortunately, that's the same case with Jesus. Very few people find that straight and narrow way. But it's interesting that the waters representing the Word of God, yet Jesus Christ himself is the Word of God, made flesh to dwell among us. Verse 19, and the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. So that word prevailed, it doesn't just mean that the waters were there. To prevail means that you're going above something else. It means that you're prevailing against something else, or above something else, or over something else. Think about how other places in the Bible that talk about prevail. It says, so David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. It talks about, Joseph prevailing over his brothers, right? Whenever something prevails, it's talking about it's prevailing over something else. So this word prevail, it says the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. All the high hills. The next verse, 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. Now, when it says 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, That's not that high. 15 cubits is like 23 feet. So what a cubit is that the Bible talks about a cubit of a man. The cubit of a man is from his elbow to the tip of his middle finger. That's a cubit. So it differs from man to man, but it's about that length that it's talking about when he gives these measurements. Talks about, you know, the size of the ark. It's 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits. And then he says 15 cubits upward did the water prevail, 23 feet. You think, well, that's not very deep. How were the mountains covered? I don't think it's saying that the water was 23 feet deep. I think it's saying the waters prevailed by 23 feet over the tops of the mountains. That's really deep. Now, why was it that height? Well, as I thought about it, imagine, I don't know what the tallest mountain in the world was at this time. Maybe it was Mount Everest. Maybe it was a different mountain. I don't know how things changed during the flood. There were certainly a lot of changes happening at that time. But just imagine the tallest mountain in the world, and God covers that by another 23 feet. What that says to me is that it's higher than the tallest man on the highest mountain. Or even giant. Just read in the previous chapter, there were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 3. It says there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, there were giants after that. Again, I just made reference to David prevailing over the Philistine. That's Goliath. And that even happens much later after this. But in Deuteronomy 3, in verse 11, it mentions this guy Og, king of Bashan. It says, for only Og, king of Bashan, remained of the remnant of giants. Behold, his bedstead was a bedstead of iron. Is it not in Rabbath of the children of Ammon? 9 cubits was the length thereof, and 4 cubits the breadth of it, after the cubit of a man. So how tall was this guy? Well, it says his bed was 9 cubits long. This guy was bigger than Goliath. He was probably at least 10 or 11 feet tall. That's pretty big. Imagine this guy standing on the tallest mountain in the world being covered by 23 feet. It's above his head. God wanted to make sure not even the tallest, not even the biggest was going to survive this flood without him. Back to Genesis 7, and you look at verses 21 and 22. It says, and all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died. And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and the creeping things and the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth. You don't have to turn there, but I'm just going to read John 17, 2. So when Jesus is praying to his Father, initially, I'll start in verse 1. It says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And you see this all here with the flood. You see the ark being lifted up above the earth. Father, glorify thy Son. Verse 2, as thou hast given him power over all flesh. Jesus Christ has power over all flesh. Not only was he lifted up above them, but his judgment caused the destruction of all flesh. He's got that power. And also that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. God put 8 people on that ark. And guess what? They all lived. They were the only people to live through that flood. Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark, it says in verse 23. So I know we don't have a lot of time left here. So it says at the end, the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. This is kind of the theme that I see here. Again, I'm looking at the spiritual pictures in here, and there's multiple pictures you can get out of. You could even say that Noah here is kind of a figure or a type of Christ in this. And And honestly, I can see that. You know, the Bible talks about in 1 Peter that the prophets of old in the Old Testament, they had the Spirit of Christ in them. So guess what happened? Because they had the Spirit of Christ in them, they thought like him. They talked like him. They acted as he would have acted in that place. So a lot of times you're going to see people have the Spirit of Christ. You're going to say, oh, that's a figure of Christ. I see Christ in this guy. You see that with Abel. We've seen that. We see it with Noah. We see it with Moses, Abraham, David, Job. We see that a lot. But one of the big themes I see here is that the waters, again, talking about the waters, the Word of God coming down from heaven, the waters brought judgment upon the ungodly, and yet they bear up the ark. The Word of God brings judgment on the ungodly, and yet it lifts up Christ. He is the Word of God. He's the one with the Word of God. It says, yea, thy law is within my heart. That's who he is. And that's where the salvation is. Everywhere else, all flesh is going to die. But if you're in there with Christ, might look like death. But like Jesus said, it's not death, it's only sleep. You're only in there dormant until the wrath is passed. But after that, these guys are all going to come out of the ark into a brand new world. Amen. So I just want to end with this this passage. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I know it's kind of a short study today, but honestly, there's so much in this passage, so many different things we could look at that just isn't practical right now. But it's a great passage to study out. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I'm just going to start reading from verse 18 down to the end. And I think you'll be able to see the theme of the passage that we just talked about in here. It says, verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. You know, that's what the building of the ark looked like to everybody else. It looked like foolishness. But you know what? It was the power of God unto salvation. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Well, they're under 23 feet of water. That's where they are. Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Think about Genesis 6 once again, the giants, mighty men, men of renown. Guess what? They weren't called into the ark. Only Noah and his family. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. There's salvation in that ark. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. That ark was made unto Noah and his family salvation. All the flesh on the outside, doesn't matter how high their hill was, how high their mountain was. There was no flesh that was around to glory in his presence. You know who was able to glory? Noah and his family, the ones that were saved inside that ark. So that's it for Genesis chapter 7. It's as far as we're going to get today. And we'll pick it up next week, Lord willing. Thank you for being in Sunday school.